Hey, football fans, are you obsessed with the game?
Oh, yeah.
Do you find yourself looking for breakdowns from every angle? For those who can't get enough, subscribe to Brian Baldinger's podcast, The Best Football Show, where he discusses the top teams and players from around the league each week.
That's what I watched this week, a dominant performance.
New episodes drop every weekday, including Trench Talk Tuesdays with former NFL lineman Mark Schlereth. Make sure to subscribe to The Best Football Show on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
NBA basketball at its finest tonight.
Madigan, tell me.
At its finest tonight.
Look at him. But tell me what he looks like right now.
He looks like he's about to get foiled by a six-year-old as he tries to break into a house in Chicago.
It's exactly what I was thinking. Exactly the same thing. That you are about to try to steal some stuff from someone's house in Home Alone.
I've got my little hat on and got my...
So I'm Daniel Stern?
Daniel Stern or Joe Pesci?
Yeah, more Pesci than Stern, don't you think?
Belushi?
No.
Breaking into Dean's office?
No.
Dean Wormer?
Yeah, a little bit.
Maybe.
I could see it.
You just scared the horse. Let's just make sure.
That's all I did.
They were blanks.
Yes. They were blanks. Oklahoma City.
Mm-hmm.
And Cleveland.
Yes.
Don't you love that?
Oh, I love it.
I know, I do too.
It's like Celtics-Knicks, isn't it?
It's
Lakers-Celtics.
It's just great. Honestly, I think it's just great. That's just fabulous. Take that, Adam Silver.
It's like Chicago. It's all the big name teams. It's the they've been a dominant team, but
you know the thing about it is
I wouldn't say they're one of the darlings though, are they?
Does anybody know anything? Anybody know anything about Oklahoma City? We know the Cavs have been terrific, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, they're 31-4. Oklahoma City's only one game behind. They're 30-5. Cavs have won 10 straight games. That's pretty phenomenal, isn't it? Oklahoma City has won 15 straight games. Now, when you only lose four or five games, you're going to have a lot of winning streaks. And that's what's going on right now. And these two teams are coming to town, and they're going to play tonight. And I think it's just a great thing for the NBA. I wonder if the NBA can embrace this. Say the way the NFL embraces the Green Bay Packers. You know what I mean?
Like, us?
No.
Or Oklahoma City?
Oklahoma City mainly. But I think it's interesting, and I wonder if the NBA can get to that point where, you know, the market size, where Adam Silver doesn't cringe at the thought of an Oklahoma City-Cleveland NBA Finals, because you can be sure he is.
Is it him or is it the television networks?
Well, if it's the television networks, then it's him, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, I guess so. Did you catch what I said in the open about drama-less? Like, that's the one thing I keep thinking about when it comes to the Cavaliers right now. Like, if you like basketball and you truly enjoy the game and you truly want to root for your hometown team without having any drama,
yeah,
man, this feels like it, doesn't it? I'm not worried about what LeBron's doing next year on this team. You know what I'm saying? When Donovan Mitchell signed his deal, like, none of that's the only drama we've really had this year is... Ooh, what are they going to do with the trade deadline to make the team better? Are you kidding?
If they do anything.
Do we really live in that world where there's really no soap opera? No one's yelling about the owner. No one's yelling about the coach. No one's, there's like literally nothing to be mad about on this team or nothing to be concerned about on this team.
Still some things to be concerned about.
But it's not like the level of drama this team is like zero.
Well, see, that's the one thing about.
I love it.
That's the one big difference.
It might be boring sports talk radio, but I still love it.
Here's the thing, and we know this because we lived it. When you had LeBron here, you had a terrific team, terrific opportunity, and tons of drama, right? With LeBron comes drama. Whether it be in Miami or Los Angeles, there's always stuff going on, and you had to capitalize like crazy and put the right guys around him and put tons of guys around him. One of the years during the run of NBA Finals, they had 22 guys on the roster. They had 22 different guys, you know, throughout the year. There's stability here. It's real clear who this Cavs group is built around, this Cavs team, and they're playing really good basketball. It's still going to come down to, and this is tough. You know, you love the run during the regular season. Don't dismiss it. Embrace it, enjoy it. But it's going to come down to what can this team do in the playoffs? You know, is it a better playoff team than it was in the past? And remember, under J.B. Bickerstaff, it took a step every year in the playoffs. You know, you won a series. You want to win big. But does this work come playoff time? We won't find out till we get there. But it's real clear that the Cavs are going to be one of the top four, Andy, without a question. One of the top four seeds, I would think, in the Eastern Conference. And a great chance to be the top seed. Certainly top two. If they're not the number one seed, that means that things slipped a little bit and the Celtics probably made the move. Maybe the Knicks.
It's possible.
Maybe.
I don't know. I mean, are we good with the fact that this team isn't like, they're just play good basketball? Like, I like watching them play. They blow teams out. Sometimes our starters don't even have to play in the fourth quarter. They move the basketball well. They have good plays. There's execution. There's not. And maybe that's just bad for the networks, and maybe one of the reasons why they don't want to spend a lot of time talking about the Cavs. I think Atlanta went through the same thing, right? Like, it's just not. You don't have LeBron James, or you don't have that gigantic name. I mean, I think Donovan's gigantic, but you know, it is what it is.
He's not yet.
Yeah, but to and us, he is. Not, wait, to us, he is.
Well, that's great, but that doesn't mean he is on the national stage, and he should be. He's
so what does he need? A couple
player.
Stupid commercials, and all of a sudden, then he's, oh well. Hey, did you see him in that Tootsie Roll commercial? That was great.
He's played in Utah and Cleveland.
Yeah,
and he's not LeBron, so it's going to be tough for anybody to get the credit they deserve.
And New York doesn't really want to latch out, or the that area where he's from doesn't, you know, there's no embrace on that. You know what I'm saying?
No. New Yorkers who go somewhere else,
they don't matter to them.
Doesn't matter.
Yes. Yeah,
doesn't matter as much. Doesn't matter as much. The one thing I think is fascinating about this is that these two teams were built in two different ways. And Oklahoma City, Sam Presti's their general manager. And for my money, and this is nothing against Kobe Altman or anybody else, I think Sam Presti is as good as you possibly get, probably, in my estimation, the best GM in the NBA. And he's picked up big-name guys. He's had big-name guys.
Yeah.
And he's dispatched them and brought in draft choices and then drafted really well. And remember, this is the team that had Kevin Durant, Russell Westbrook, and James Harden.
Yeah, and look where they are now.
And none of those guys are around. They got rid of those guys. They brought in other pieces. Some of those worked, some of those didn't work. And then, you get Paul George. You're flipping guys all over the place and collecting draft choices. And they have so many draft choices coming down the road, it's unbelievable. Still. And they're 30-5. Sports Illustrated at the beginning of the season went over, and there are so many little caveats with all the conditions on all these picks. In 2025, the upcoming draft, okay, right now, according to Sports Illustrated, the Thunder have their own pick. They have pick swaps with the Rockets, Clippers. There's something with the Jazz protected top 10, Heat protected top 14, Sixers protected top 6. They could, in theory, have 5 first-round draft choices this year. 5.
Wow.
Now, what do you do with those? Well, nothing. You're 30-5.
Yeah.
You either trade them at the trade deadline for that veteran piece on a team that isn't doing very well, or you know what you do?
What do you do, Jeff?
You kick it down the road. You get to the draft. Some team wants a first-round pick this year. We'll give you our first-round pick in 2028. Unprotected. Thank you. Here, you take this one. And you just sustain your roster. And that's beautiful. That's different than what the Cavaliers did, where they drafted Darius High. They drafted Evan High at number 3. They traded for Jared Allen, and they gave up a boatload to get Donovan Mitchell. So while the Thunder has sustainability with tons of draft capital moving forward, that was just 2025, by the way. In 2026, they're on the books right now for 3 first-round picks, bunch of seconds. In 2027, the Thunder have 3 first-round picks available to them. In 2028, they have 2. In 2029, they have 2. It doesn't stop, Andy. They don't have it. You go until 2030 until they have just one first round pick their own.
Wow, man, they are. I mean, they're set. They're
but you can
man.
Kick those down the road, you know, and right, they will yeah. because their roster is pretty good. So they're not going to have to, you know, use those picks. You can't use those picks. You can't bring in all those guys on this team and everything else. So they're just going to be able to sustain this, and it's through the great work of Sam Presti. They're in a different window, I think, than the Cavs, because I think this Thunder team can sustain this for a long period of time. Cavs are in a good window, too, because they have their guys under contract, but, of course, their first-round picks are going to Utah with two pick swaps in between for the next 5 years,
yeah,
starting this year.
But we're okay with this now. Remember, we were like, no, we haven't even paid the bill on this thing
right,
yet.
I still think they gave up too much, because that's just the way I think about players and trades.
I don't know, man. I'm looking at them. They have the best record in the NBA. Did they give up too much now at this point?
Let's figure it out down the road. Yeah. If they can take this into the playoffs and do big things, there you go. That's that, which was the plan. You know, that's the plan.
Then will Jeff Phelps get on the air and say, you know what?
No, they were right. I won't say that they were right or wrong. They gave up too much. I will always think that.
If you go on and make the playoffs every year, go deep in the playoffs, and get to the NBA Finals.
They gave up too much.
I can live with it.
That's just the way I like building a team. I like building a team the way Sam Presti is built in Oklahoma City.
You know, I get you on that. That's my thought. I think you have a little Deshaun Watson shock on that, too.
That has nothing to do with it.
Yeah, but, you know, when you give up a couple first-round picks and you're looking at that, and you're going, ooh, this team did the same thing the other team did.
I would rather give up first-round picks for a quarterback who I think is my franchise changer than a guy on a team who is very, very good, but not the guy in the NBA, unless your name is Jordan or LeBron. It's probably not worth to me giving up that many picks.
I don't know. I think that the story's still unwritten. So
maybe. All I know is that Donovan came in and all of a sudden it was the core four, right?
Yeah.
Is this the best core four that this franchise has ever had? I say you're going to have to tune in about 5 minutes to find out what we think. 216-474-0092. It's Baskin and Phelps on the Fan. Top two teams in the NBA. 10-game winning streak. 15-game winning streak. Something has to give. Welcome to Baskin and Phelps. Jeff Phelps, Andy Baskin. Core four. The team's built around the core four.
Yes.
Is it the best core four this franchise has ever had?
I have trouble thinking that.
Well, we're there.
We're close.
We have some thoughts on that in moments. But Andy is first going to play travel guide.
All right. So here's what sometimes when they say, I keep thinking about you talking about how the commissioner hates the thought of this as a potential finals matchup, Oklahoma City and Cleveland, right? You've said that several times.
You've got to smile and say, we're really proud of the ability of our franchises to put together winning teams. Despite the fact that Oklahoma City is about the 60th television market in the country.
Yes. So then I started saying to myself, well, what is it about Cleveland that we used to hear about all the time? Why couldn't we get a free agent? Why couldn't we do this? Why couldn't we do that? By the way, by the time they're done with that Cleveland Clinic facility for the Cavaliers, I think it's going to be tough for any player to walk through and go, wow, man, look at the way they treat their players. I mean, you already see that now, right? In Independence.
Their Independence facility is outstanding.
So a lot of times, like, especially if you've had the opportunity to travel with some of these teams on the road, you know where players want to go, right?
I love how you now incorporate dang just in your conversation.
That's all. I talk to people on the street sometimes. They're like, hey, I talked to so-and-so, and then they say ding. And I'm like, you must actually listen to the show. Congratulations. You've reached rock bottom. So I was like, okay, so why wouldn't somebody want to play in Oklahoma City? Why wouldn't they want to play in Cleveland, right? Because what do they say? What's the problem? There's what? Nothing to do when
you
go there.
That's what everybody says.
Yeah. So here, I'm just for comparison. So I went to...
Because Milwaukee is a real hot spot.
So I went to TripAdvisor. Okay.
I love cities like Milwaukee.
And I'm going to give you the TripAdvisor told me...
I love Oklahoma City.
I do too. It's a
great time.
I've never been there. Have you been there?
Oh yeah, I got family there.
Oh, I didn't realize that.
Yeah, really?
Now all the flannel makes sense.
That's what it is.
Yeah.
It's not just the fact that it's warm and comfy, and I can claim it as a collar, and therefore it's a dress shirt.
Jeff, did you enjoy your time there in Oklahoma City?
Yeah. Yes.
Well, quickly tell me what you did.
There's a place called the Brick.
Yes. Okay.
Yeah, and they have good food. The Hooters had great wings there.
Okay, so Hooters is your top one of the top two reasons why you think Oklahoma City is rocks.
Great barbecue, too, in Oklahoma City.
Okay. A lot of great steakhouses. Yeah, great steakhouses.
All right, so just for reference,
the best fried chicken you'll ever eat, too.
I didn't go to them. I didn't have any of the best fried chicken, and I'm a fried chicken connoisseur.
Oh, man, when you get down there, I got a joint for you if you find your way down there. The best fried chicken you'll ever eat.
Okay.
So just as a reference point, I went to TripAdvisor, and I was like, okay, if you're coming to Cleveland, what are they telling you to do? Six things. I'll just give you the top six things. One was Progressive Field. Two was the zoo. Three was the house from Christmas Story. Four was the house from Christmas Story. Sorry. Three was the Museum of Art. Two was the
Which I visited, by the way, over the holidays.
Oh, well, we were just wondering about that.
Beautiful. We have a fine art museum here, and it's free.
Yes,
it is. And it's free. Keep that in mind. Not all of them are.
Number two reason, Cleveland Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Number one, West Side Market. Love going to West Side Market. Love the pasta place, that spice place when you first walk in. Love every part of that. Okay, so there's a reference point to Cleveland, your top six things. So if you're saying you're the NBA, you're like, oh, man, do we really want Oklahoma City? The top six things to do in Oklahoma City. The zoo and botanical garden is six. So that's comparable. The zoo is six, sorry. Then they have another botanical gardens, the Myriad is what it's called. That's the five. They have the, I can't even say it. They have like a big skeleton museum there. So far, I'm not really too excited to go. But we have the Natural History Museum, which is outstanding here too. Three is the National Cowboy and Western Heritage Museum. Might be fun. Bricktown, the place you were talking about, is their number two reason. And then the number one thing is the Oklahoma City National Memorial Museum. And so I understand that part of it. Especially when you think about the tragedy that happened there. So if you're an NBA player and you're like trying to, you're like, oh, well, this is fun. Or
where's the club?
Yeah, that's exactly what I'm saying. Mm-hmm. Are there clubs in Bricktown?
I don't think so.
Okay, so.
I don't know, though.
Again, this is probably why the NBA, and you kind of compare the two cities, and why this isn't a real sexy matchup and there isn't a lot of drama to it. You know what I'm saying?
We have this team built around the core four. That's the way the Cavs have marketed this. They call it that. You know, if you're Max Strus or Isaac Okoro or Sam Merrill, or you're not in the core four. But anyhow, you're part of a really good team that's won 10 straight games.
Team.
The core four. Is this the best grouping of four players that this franchise has ever had? Is it the best? I came up with, I think, three groupings of four players that are worthy of this consideration.
Okay.
I did not include the Miracle Team from the 1970s.
Why?
Because that was a grouping of like seven guys. The 1976 Miracle of Richfield team had seven Cavaliers average in double figures. And nobody averaged like 25, 20, you know, 20. It was Jim Jones, Campy Russell, Bingo, Dick Snyder, Jimmy Clemens, Jim Brewer, and Austin Carr.
Okay.
All averaged 10 points or more. It was one of the best assemblies, is that the right word, of talent in one spot where Bill Fitch used it almost like hockey, where they played shifts.
Yeah.
And
you can't say in Cleveland, though, because the Avengers actually did assemble in Cleveland.
I don't think you can take four of those guys without taking others, if you know what I mean. It wasn't clearly based around four guys. So I don't include anybody there. I should.
Can I ask a question just as you were going through this grouping?
Yeah.
Are you saying that you're talking about the greatest overall team?
No, it's
the greatest
four.
Overall.
It's four. It's pretty simple. There's four. Core four.
Yeah, but I think
it's pretty simple.
We're talking about basketball.
Four. I'm talking about the core four.
Yeah, but you're
stuck. Because that's what they're cramming down our throats.
It's
four.
A marketing thing for you. Yeah, so that's why
in trouble. But it goes back to basketball.
If it goes back to basketball, shouldn't it be five?
Is it the best? Well, you tell them. Is it the best?
Okay, Cavs, it should be five.
Is it the best grouping of four players that this franchise has ever had? I will tell you the answer to that is no.
Okay, I think I can. I know the first four or five I was thinking of. I know I can only think of
there
four.
There are two others that I think are worthy of consideration.
Okay.
And I will tell you the others are better.
Than what we're seeing right now.
Yeah.
All right, but I will tell you, I know where you're going.
Four player.
I will tell you that this group of core four has the potential to be
I won't argue with that.
They're right there. And the question is what will their legacy be?
To me, and you tell me, I want your thoughts on this. The other two that I think are worthy of consideration here and that I think are both better than the current core four.
I'm going to write it down. Okay.
The grouping of LeBron, Kyrie, Kevin Love, and I threw in J.R. Smith. It's basically LeBron, Kyrie, Kevin, and whoever else you're going to throw in there. To me, that's really tough to beat, but you might be able to beat it with Mark Price,
yep,
Brad Doherty,
yep,
Larry Nance,
yep,
and Ron Harper.
Boom. See that piece of paper right there? I just wrote down exactly what you had
now,
before you even said it.
Now, that core four wasn't together as long as it should have been because of the Ron Harper trade.
Yeah.
But Ron Harper was a special talent. And had that stuck around and been able to go for a long period of time, I think we'd have had a different basketball history here in town.
Mm-hmm.
But Price, Doherty, Harper, and Nance, that's a really good... That's a good grouping of four. Those guys combined for 12 NBA All-Star appearances. And Harper didn't make it. Ronnie was never an All-Star, according to my research on this. Larry made it three times. Brad made five. Mark made a four, whatever that's worth.
Sure.
This current group of Cavs, it's young. So there's, as you said, there's the potential. Donovan's been to five All-Star games. The other guys have combined for two. I think that'll change this year.
Yeah.
Jarrett made it once. Darius made it once. Evan hasn't made it yet. That's going to change. But is that LeBron group, Andy?
No, it's only three. I only feel like it's LeBron three.
And Kyrie and Kevin better than what we have now? Because you could make...
Well, I'm going to go back to your silly marketing thing there. When I think of those guys, I think of three. I don't think of four. I think of big three. Yeah, JR was there. Yeah, we had some other guys that stepped up.
But when the Cavs put together that big three, that was the thing in the NBA. Who's your big three?
Right.
Well, the Cavs have gone core four. I honestly think, you know, LeBron's greatness, Kyrie's greatness. I know people don't want to hear that in town. Kyrie's unbelievable.
Both those guys are a player and a half, aren't they?
Kyrie's unbelievable.
They kind of count as a player and a half.
And Kevin Love is going to the Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
And so...
Is he buying a ticket, or are they actually putting him in?
I think he's getting a ticket.
Okay.
Those three guys combined with whoever else they wanted to throw out there. JR was good.
Yeah.
JR is of the guys that we've mentioned, he's number 12 out of the core four. But the other guys were so good that he played with.
Yeah.
That I think that you're
with LeBron and Kyrie, you didn't need a core four. Let's be honest.
Or with Kevin.
Or with Kevin. Yeah, no, I'm including Kevin in that three. Okay.
Kevin played his role.
I know I'm joking about Kevin, but I love watching Kevin play.
Kevin played his role that he needed to play beautifully and, you know, backed off on his game so that everybody else could flourish, and he did what it is he needed to do.
He made the biggest sacrifice of all those guys. That's
for do you like one of those groups more than the other?
No, here's what I think it is.
It's hard not to pick LeBron, Kyrie, Kevin, and whoever.
Yeah, it's like, I don't know.
They had the success.
It's not Coke, new Coke. It's, you know, to me, there were two. I can't consider. Even they won a championship. Like, they're in a different. That big three is just like, it's a different level. Because they were able to find the finish line and cross it. Nobody else has been able to do that. So you want to go back to this whole marketing thing of a core four. The core four you have right now.
But it's also an on-the-court situation.
Of course.
Because those are the four guys who actually lead this team. There's no question about that.
But we're just talking about it's a different style, isn't it?
Than what?
That, you know, if you're trying to build a team around three guys, it's different than trying to build a team around four guys.
Well, it's,
and it could be as simple as a coaching switch. We're watching right now.
It might just be that you happen to have four guys who are worthy of that. You know,
but you don't have, like, when you have LeBron and Kyrie, you don't need that impact of four or five players. You know, I mean, you need support. You don't need impact. Like, these guys, what we've watched this year is, as much as we want to believe that Donovan is, and I think he is, I think he's a superstar, but these guys need each other. Like,
no qualification level.
But. When these four guys are in sync, man, they're unstoppable. They are. Ask the rest of the NBA right now, with the exception of what? Miami, Atlanta, right? So it's like when you watch this incarnation of the Cavaliers, it's just different. So to me, if you're looking at a grouping of four, and that's the way the premise of this conversation was, Bryce Harper, Nance Doherty is up there, and then these guys are coming at him right now. They're coming for him. And the way that
I agree with that.
Yeah. The way they become better is just get to the Eastern Conference Finals. Boom, you're right there. Now it's even. Now the scales of justice are even. Just get to the Eastern Conference Finals. That's all they have to do. Again.
Can they do that? There's the question. You know, that's the thing. Right now, this group is young. If it continues to develop, this could end up being the best group this franchise has ever had. But Evan has to continue to develop. Darius Garland has to continue to develop. And Jared Allen has to sustain his level of play, which I certainly think he can. I like Jared a lot. I like all four of these guys, as you know. To me, it's a really nice grouping, and they've been able to put it together. NBA history tonight, folks. First time that you've ever had a 15-game winning streak against a 10-game winning streak going at it tonight. And we'll see it at Rocket Mortgage Fieldhouse. Is this the best grouping of four guys this franchise has ever had? 216-474-0092. We're going to talk to Bob Finan in the noon hour. Andrew Siciliano, Browns radio play-by-play coming up at 11:20. It's Baskin and Phelps right here on The Fan.